Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message is the epistle lesson, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Dear friends in Christ, there's a story about a grandmother who told her 8-year-old grandson, Joey, if you take out the trash and help me rake the leaves in the backyard, I'll give you 4 shiny new quarters. Joey replied, I tell you what, Grandma, I'll take out the trash but skip raking leaves, and you can give me just 4 dingy old quarters. But the grandmother wasn't buying it. She said to him, you're taking out the trash and helping me rake leaves. So Joey took out the trash, and for the next hour, he raked leaves with his grandma. They actually did a great job. After the job was finished, the grandmother said to her grandson, Joey, doesn't the yard look great? We've been out here enjoying the fall weather, exercising our bodies, breathing fresh air. Doesn't that make you feel good? Yeah, mumbled Joey. Good and tired. We laugh at that because we can identify with Joey. Like him, we like to take the path of least resistance. There are some jobs, some work, we try to avoid at all costs. Whenever someone talks about the nobility of work and how good it is to get your hands in the dirt and grime, we're tempted to roll our eyes and say, yeah, whatever you say. Yet God's desire for us to work and serve others is clearly seen in today's text. According to our text, some of the Christians in Thessalonica in that church had become so distracted by the thought of Jesus' return in glory that they had given in to their sinful, lazy impulses. They reasoned, if Jesus is coming back soon, why should I knock myself out trying to make a living? I'll just hang out until Jesus comes back. I'll live off of others until that time. But Paul urged the Christians in Thessalonica not to be idle. He reminded them that while in Thessalonica on a missionary journey, he was far from idle. Not only did he teach and preach the gospel, but he made tents to support himself. He didn't want to be a burden to others, and so he worked a second job to provide himself with food and clothing and rent. Paul emphasized that God wants his people to work for a living. He went so far as to say, if anyone would not work, neither should he eat. And he concluded his comments by commanding people who weren't working to eat their bread, eat the bread they earn. Work is good. Work is God-pleasing. After God created Adam, what was one of the first things he did for Adam? He gave him work to do. He was to tend the garden. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the author talks about enjoying your work and the fruit of your labor. He says, there's nothing better in the world than to know God and to work hard and enjoy the fruit of your labor. It is good stuff. And in Ephesians 4, verse 28, Paul writes, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. That spells out God's plan for our lives perfectly. God doesn't want us to steal for a living. He wants us to work for a living. And when we do, when we work for a living, God will supply us with all the money we need to support our families and help people in need. work is good. Then why is it that work becomes drudgery so often? You get up in the morning, take a shower, fix your breakfast, go off to work, the same commute day after day. You're constantly on the phone at work, you're filling out forms, staring at the computer screen for hours. Then you go back home. There's yard work to do, and the housework never ends. Even when you love what you do, there's tedium. There are times you just plod through your work, times when you feel like yelling, "Enough! Enough is enough." The reason is as old as Adam and Eve. After they fell into sin, God told them, "Cursed is the ground because of your sin. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat food." Before the fall, there was work, lots of it. But it was always a pleasure to do. It was a joy. Adam and Eve tended the garden, and it was so productive, and they worked together with God in perfect harmony. It was wonderful. After the fall, work became a struggle. The ground wasn't very productive. They had to contend with thorns and thistles, and they didn't work together in perfect harmony. Adam and Eve had to work with sinful co-workers. So, how can we develop an appreciation for the nobility of work? How can we do our work with an attitude of joy and a sense of peace? Well, look upon it as a daily discipline. Look upon it as something that drives you to God and His strength. When you get up in the morning, pray, "Lord, this is the day that you have made. During this day, I'll have so many opportunities to serve others and glorify your name in my different roles. Give me the energy and enthusiasm I need to do my work well. Guide me in all I do." What's more, remember that our neighbors need our work. They need our service. Luther once said that we Christians are God's masks in serving our fellow human beings, in helping our fellow human beings. Now, we don't look like Jesus physically, but we serve as Jesus' hands and feet and voice to help others. Farmers are being Jesus' hands when they grow food, and we really need farmers. We would starve to death without the farmers. Pastors are Jesus' voice when they proclaim the gospel and teach the word of God. And we need that for faith to be strong. We need that for salvation. Parents are God's hands when they change the baby's dirty diaper. And we really need that. Can you imagine that diaper getting bigger and bigger and bigger? And there's a danger of explosion. You know what I mean? Our work is a blessing to others. And we can better appreciate the nobility of work when we think about Jesus' life and ministry. Now, when people talk about Jesus bringing us salvation, they usually talk about Jesus' sacrificial death. Jesus died on the cross to pay for all our sins. Because of his suffering, because of his death, all our sins are forgiven, and we are God's sons and daughters. But Jesus also had to lead a sacrificial, perfect life of love in order to save us. He had to live and work without sin, without resentment. Had Jesus been sinful when he died on the cross, he would have died only for his own sins because he was without sin. When he died on the cross, he took away all the sins of all sinners. What I'm saying is, Jesus worked the way God wants his people to work. He worked gladly, joyfully, in service to others. Think about the boy Jesus working in Joseph's carpenter shop. I'm sure he fetched tools for Joseph and swept up the wood shavings at the end of the day. He probably made furniture and farm implements like Joseph. He was skilled with the lathe. Remember how Jesus worked and served others during his earthly ministry? He walked from village to village, preaching the gospel and teaching God's word. When young children were brought to Jesus, he took them in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. He didn't say, "I'm too busy for these kids." No, he made time for the children. During his passion, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, those dirty, stinky feet. That was a job. Remember how Jesus was made to stand for hours during his trials, how he was made to carry his cross to the place of execution, to Golgotha, how he spoke words of love and forgiveness from the cross. Remember, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to two disciples who were traveling to the town of Emmaus, and he instructed them. He opened up the Bible to them so they understood God's plan of salvation. He had a meal with them, and as he broke bread for these men, they recognized him. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' work is a good thing, a great thing. It's life-giving, life-sustaining work. He lived that life. He did that work for you and me. May that glorious good news move us to do our work gladly, joyfully, in service to others. Let me conclude by clearing up a few things about work. Our work, our good works, do not save us. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus did it all. He took away our sin and made us God's children. And frankly, the thought of trying to make it up to God with a puny good work seems a bit silly to me. Yet God does want us to work and be rich in good works. He wants us to work to support our families and help those in need. He wants us to be good and gracious to others because they need our service. They need our work. Because we're sinful and we live in a sinful world, that's not easy to do. We struggle to work joyfully in service to others. Work can be tiring. It can be very tedious. But with the help of God's word and the Holy Spirit, empowered by the gospel, we gain new strength for our work. As we daily ask the Lord to use us as Jesus' hands, feet, and voice to bless others, as we recall the wonder of Jesus' love, his work on the cross for us, God lifts us up and energizes us. In the words of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 40, God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even young people grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will gain new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be faint. And to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. and may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.